Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
And welcome back to Stomp This Way. Today, we got a very important episode, an episode 10 weeks in the making. We're talking about another TV show, and that TV show is Monarch, Legacy of Monsters.
Yes.
10 weeks.
10 weeks.
10 episodes. And, well, we'll talk about it. But anyway, you want to talk about some production trivia?
Why not?
All right. Well, after the success of GVK, Legendary negotiated a deal with Apple to put a live-action show on their streaming service, which was greenlit in January of 2022. I think there was some drama. Well, there was definitely some drama. I think that affected this. You know, Warner Brothers had put some Legendary co-productions on Max, straight to Max, during the whole COVID period. And that had upset the executives at Legendary. So I think that Legendary started looking into other partners. Of course, the movies are still under contract with Warner Brothers concerning the MonsterVerse, but they shopped around this TV show and were able to sell it to Apple. So, anyway, sold it to Apple.
Yep.
It was filmed in July and August of 2022. And it is set, or at least the half the timeline, the main timeline, is set in 2015, immediately following the events of the 2014 Godzilla film. Is that right so far?
Sounds right to me so far.
So, no box office info. Because this is a TV show.
Yeah.
The ratings, I mean, I don't have any numbers in front of me. Based on, you know, things I've seen on the internet, it did pretty well for Apple. Now, they have not, as of this recording, which is on, what night is it? Friday night?
The 12th.
Apple has not ordered a season two. I think that everyone, Apple, Warner Brothers, Legendary, are all kind of waiting for GXK to come out and just kind of see financially what the future of this franchise is before anyone commits any big dollars or anything. My guess would be that a season two is not greenlit until at least after the opening weekend of GXK. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to go ahead and listen to a trailer. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the cast and crew. A plot synopsis this week, not a plot summary, because it's a TV show and I didn't feel like summarizing that whole plot. So, plot synopsis. And our main goal this week is to get through a whole episode without the audio completely wrecking. We've had 3 bad weeks in a row. If I was a real podcaster, I'd have made us re-record those. But we don't got time for that.
or
the patience. What?
Or the money.
Or the, well, it doesn't cost us money to re-record, except time is money, I guess. So in a way,
it does. Yes.
But anyway, here's the trailer, and we'll see in a bit.
Monarch was there in San Francisco. When the whole city was coming down, these guys were taking pictures like they'd been waiting for it.
You think that your father was working for them?
This stuff wasn't a safe.
Who are they?
What's Monarch?
There's a new welcome.
This is the world we live in. Monsters are an inescapable reality.
And it's just
those files belong to us, and they are more important than you could possibly imagine.
There's a new welcome.
This is gonna give me nightmares.
Now you can choke down that Monarch lie.
About your father disappearing.
Or we can find out what really happened.
Before it's too late.
Go!
This world, it's not ours. Believe me.
It is so much more vast than we could possibly imagine.
These monsters and Monarch have taken everything from me. No more.
Is on fire. If you want to save millions of lives, we can use some help.
All right, we're back. The plot synopsis is as follows. 1 year after Godzilla and the Mutos, battled it out in San Francisco, a young woman named Kate Randa, granddaughter of Bill Randa, discovers she has a secret half-brother in Tokyo named Kentaro. The two siblings, along with Kentaro's ex, Mei, go on a journey with retired Colonel Lee Shaw to uncover the secrets of Monarch and the Titans. Simultaneously, we follow Lee Shaw several decades earlier as he teams with scientists Bill Randa and Keiko Mura as they create the Monarch organization. Pretty fair plot synopsis?
Pretty fair.
All right. Well, let's get right into it. As I said, 10 episodes, approximately 45 minutes.
45 to 50.
Yeah. You know, coming into this, I mean, you guys, if you've listened to our MonsterVerse episodes, know I'm kind of lukewarm on the MonsterVerse. And I would feel that was about where I was coming into this show. Like, oh, maybe. What were your thoughts coming in?
I was hoping at least it would be entertaining.
Enough. Well, yes, we all hope that when we watch something.
Yeah. Hopefully it would not toll a bomb.
Yeah.
Hopefully it had enough plot and character development in it to push the storyline through, unlike some shows we watch.
Yeah. I would say if I had a big hope for this show, it would be that over the course of 10 episodes, they would be able to do what the movies have failed to do. And maybe flesh out some characters, give us some characters to care about, those sorts of things. You know, the hard things.
Things you want.
But yeah, so I'll say for about the first 3 episodes, I was pretty hooked. You know, we open up with the first episode. We are introduced to at least 2 of our main characters. I don't know, does May come in the first episode or the second episode?
The second episode.
Yeah, I don't remember. But we at least get to know two of our three main characters. Kate, she is a young woman, school teacher from San Francisco. She's the granddaughter of Bill Randa.
Mm-hmm.
Her and her father that her Kentaro share. But she doesn't know about Kentaro yet.
Not yet.
But her father, what was their father's name? Hiroshi. Their father, Hiroshi. So her father, Hiroshi, went missing after the Godzilla attack in 2014. His plane supposedly went down over Alaska or something. And he worked for Monarch. And anyway, she goes to Tokyo, I guess, because they found a set of keys in his things or something that belonged to an apartment in Tokyo. And long story short, she discovers that he had a secret second family in Tokyo. She has a half-brother, Kentaro. And yeah, and so I think they have an interesting dynamic, family dynamic that they set up that draws me in with these two half-siblings that just now discovered each other. Their father's gone missing. They have a lot of mixed feelings about their father now that they've discovered this secret. And they have to deal with their emotions with that, while also, as we get into the show, they have to work together to, you know, deal with Monarch and Godzilla and the whole bit.
Yeah.
And then they bring in the third main character, May, who is Kentaro's ex-girlfriend, but she also is an expert hacker. Mm-hmm. So they need her to hack into some old files that they found in their dad's Tokyo office. And then simultaneously, we jump back in time to the early 50s, where Bill Randa, the very first scene in the show is John Goodman. They conjured him into this to stand in a green room for a little while. And he films a selfie video before those were cool. This was takes place obviously sometime during the events of Skull Island.
Yeah.
And it's like him filming a video of himself apologizing to his son, adopted son, as we'll learn later in the show, Hiroshi. Mm. And then the camera gets dropped in the water or whatever. And
he puts it in his bag.
Goes in the water. And then in 2014 or something, somebody fishes it up. And somehow that video still works.
It's in a waterproof bag.
Yeah, right. Anyway, but the show also jumps back in time to the 50s, and we meet a young Lee Shaw, played by, what's his son's name?
You got me.
Man, I am falling. Did I read off the cast and crew?
Did you read off the cast and crew?
I don't think I did. Okay. We're going to pause, and we're going to do that right now. The cast and crew is as follows. Developed by Chris Black, Matt Fraction, music by Leopold Ross, and starring Anna Sawai, Kirsey Clemens, Ren Watabe, Mary Yamamoto, Anders Holm, Joe Tibbett, Elisa Lazowski, Kurt Russell, and Wyatt Russell. There's the name I was looking for. So Wyatt Russell plays a young Lee Shaw. They start in the early 50s.
Yeah.
And he is assigned to the scientist who, her name is, I already said it earlier. What was it? Keiko. She's a female Japanese scientist back before those were cool. And early on in their adventures, they run into Bill Randa, a young Bill Randa, mm-hmm. played by a guy who looks nothing like John Goodman, but that's neither here nor there.
He was young, Aaron.
Yeah. Well, they do the thing, jumping ahead a little bit. You know, where everyone always said it was kind of funny that they tried to tell us that Ewan McGregor, 20 years or less after Revenge of the Sith, was going to look like Alec Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they tried to tell us that this guy, by the end of their arc in the past, it's like, what, less than 15 years before Skull Island. And they're trying to tell us that that guy turned into John Goodman. It didn't happen.
The years were not kind to the man.
No, they weren't. No, they weren't. Anyway, so Bill Randa, Keiko, Lee Shaw in the past, and they come together and form the organization Monarch. But anyway, you know, and they have their encounters with a giant bat in the first episode. Kate's having PTGD, post-traumatic Godzilla disorder. She's having flashbacks of when Godzilla destroyed the Golden Gate Bridge and killed some of her students or something. But I think it's interesting stuff. And for the first three episodes, the show moves pretty fast. There's just enough monster stuff with Godzilla flashbacks, the bat, Keiko getting quote-unquote healed by some bug creatures they find. And that momentum, cutting back and forth between timelines, goes good for about 3 episodes. And then we get to the middle of the show, and I feel like this show loses a lot of steam, specifically episodes 4 through 7.
Yeah.
You know, I said while we were watching, like over the course of the first 3 episodes, that, you know, the monsters were used sparingly, but I could deal with that because obviously they're on a TV budget.
Yeah.
As long as the story was good, and when we did get the monsters, it was entertaining. I really felt the limitations of the TV budget in the middle of this show for 2 reasons. Episodes 4 through 7 are very light on monster action. I mean, very light. And
very heavy on character development.
air quotes, character development. And this is the portion of the show where I realize I don't really like these characters. Specifically, our 3 main leads in the, what I'll call the present timeline. Mm-hmm. Although it's not really the present, but close enough.
My favorite character is probably Lee Shaw in the show.
Yeah, I mean, is it episode 2 or 3? They go and break Kurt Russell / Lee Shaw out of this nursing home in Japan. And I will say, I do like Kurt Russell in the show. He, classic, charismatic Kurt Russell, brings a lot of energy when he's on screen. I don't know how much he was actually on screen, on set, with these other characters. I feel like, I could be wrong, I just feel like a lot of the times it feels like he's filming his scenes in a green room, separate from everybody else.
Because he never really interacts with the other characters.
There's times when he does, but yeah, there's not a lot of like physical interaction. You can really tell, like in episode, I think 3, mm-hmm. when they're, you know, trumping around Alaska, mm-hmm. trudging around Alaska. He's definitely on a green screen. Now, probably all of them are for a lot of that. Yeah. But for just some reason, really, you could tell when he was standing against that backdrop. And I just feel like, and again, I could be wrong. Maybe it was just the way they're filming the show. But I just felt like with him specifically, when he was sitting in rooms with other characters, he just didn't feel like he was there. Like they were, it just always felt like they were like trying to overcompensate the lighting. And something just looked a little off. So if I was a guessing man, I could be wrong. I think Kurt Russell filmed a lot of his stuff separate from the rest of the cast. Anyway, I digress. But yeah, as I was saying, episodes 4 through 7, our 3 main leads, Kentaro, Kate, May, and then turns out May's not a real name. I forgot what it was. But anyway, all 3 of them are just kind of narcissistic jerks.
Yeah.
And obviously, you want your characters to have struggles and a lot of times tragic backstories and all that. And that's fine. And you know, all of them can have different personalities and all that. Problem is, they don't all 3 have different personalities. No. They all have the same personality. Narcissistic butthole. And even though a character has had bad things happen to him, or maybe they're not a good person, you've got to have at least one character in the main cast that you like, that's fun, that's got charisma, that's energetic. And all 3 of these people are just constantly walking around like, oh, I hate my life. I hate my father.
I hate this. I hate
doing this. Why are we doing this? I'm having no fun at all. Like,
I want to go home.
And it's really on Kurt Russell, who's a supporting character, to provide the energy. And it just runs thin.
Who's that one main monarch guy?
Then they bring in Tim. He's your classic comedic, air quotes again, comic relief. Yeah, whatever. He's just kind of the doofus that follows him around.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's not that stupid, but it could have been a lot worse, but whatever.
Could have been.
So yeah, I just don't really like these characters. I think they have a good setup, like I said.
Yeah.
But just the way they are written and their personalities, just I get tired of them pretty quick. I think the better story is the past story. I think that the actors and the characters are giving more fun performances, I'll say. They've got personality. They've got wit. I like their interactions, their love triangle thing. Although there is an episode somewhere in the middle where we spend like 10 minutes with Lee and Keiko at a military ball or something. I'm like, let's get on with it.
Yeah.
They're better. But the problem is that the middle of the show basically abandons the past plot. Episodes 4 through 7, not only is it really light on monster action, it's also really light on the past storyline.
Yeah.
And so we're stuck with no monsters and no intercuts of this past stuff with our three non-fun leads.
With and, intersections of Kurt Russell and Tim.
Yeah, and even Kurt Russell, they put him in a holding cell for most of those episodes or something. So, yeah, that portion of the show really tested me.
Mm-hmm.
Because we also dive into May and, what's his name again?
Which one?
Kentaro.
Kentaro.
May and Kentaro's relationship, which I just don't care. And Kate's past life and all of her stuff, and I just don't care.
Hey, poor Kentaro, though. He got his girlfriend taken away from him.
Yeah.
It was a weird plot.
I don't know if they were trying to say that Kate and May were an item at the end of this, because Kate and her is a lesbian in her backstory. And
they get really friendly.
They get pretty friendly. But I guess that's for season 2 to resolve.
Yeah,
and then there's also some pointed social commentary, specifically, I think, in episode 5 or 6, which is whatever. But yeah, middle of the show.
Yeah,
I struggled with it. But then it starts to pick back up with episode 8, I believe. That's when they find Godzilla in the desert.
Yeah.
And he rises up.
And they find their dad.
Yes. And but he runs off again. He RUNNOFT. So, you know, Shaw's taken them out to the desert. He escaped from Monarch.
Yeah.
Took him out to the desert. But Shaw has ulterior motives.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Keiko, even though by that point she was with Bill and her and Lee had not really worked out, it kind of broke him. When she died, quote unquote, in that observatory or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so he's going to go and blow up all the entrances, all the portals to the Hollow Earth. This show tries to take a more serious approach, I'll say, to the Hollow Earth.
Yeah.
They, you know, have Bill try to explain it. And, you know, when we get down to the Hollow Earth, kind of, you know, if you watched Interstellar and the way gravitational anomalies cause time differential in different places or whatever, they do that whole bit, even though that's inconsistent with the movies, but neither here nor there. And then when we get down there, they play it down a lot more than they did in GVK. I think that is probably a lot to do with budget and not creative decision making, but
yeah.
But yeah, so Kurt Russell, he's going to go blow up these things, portals, the entrances, and he does. But unfortunately, he and Kate and May get sucked down into the Hollow Earth. But lo and behold, Keiko's still down there alive.
And it's only been 57 days for her.
And which we, by this point, we know about the time thing, because we've had a flashback where Lee went back or went down into the Hollow Earth.
Mm-hmm. On an observation mission.
And then they got stuck down there for like a week. And he came back. He left in 1962 and came back in 1982 or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I should have saw the Keiko thing coming. I mean, once I saw it, it's like, oh, duh, that's obviously where they were going.
Yeah.
But it kind of caught me by surprise, I'll be honest. But yeah, you know, and then we get to the final episode, I guess. I think there's some pretty good drama between Lee, old Lee, and Keiko. And the scene where he has to tell her that all this time has passed. I think the actress does a really good job in that scene. Yeah. Kurt Russell does fine. And I don't know, because I keep forgetting his name. Kentaro. Kentaro is still up on the surface world, or whatever you want to call it. And so he makes some kind of deal with Tim. And we learned in one of those middle episodes that I didn't like that May, you know, she seems like she's been on the run the whole show. And the reason she was on the run was because she worked for a company that will turn into Apex from GVK that made Mecha Godzilla. And she hacked into their stuff or whatever. Where was I going with that? We figured out Kentaro and Tim team up with Apex.
Kentaro, Tim, and his dad.
Because Kentaro has reunited with his dad at this point. I don't know how to read Hiroshi. Because they reunite, and then he, like, breaks down when Kentaro tells him that he thinks Kate is dead. But after that, Hiroshi is just kind of
there,
kind of a cold character from that point. And I don't know how we're supposed to feel about him. I think we're supposed to have mixed feelings. Mm-hmm.
He's not a good person, but he's not the best
person. He's a flawed man, but who loves his kids. Mm-hmm. But I don't really care about him. And I don't know. He's just there. They did have, I thought it was kind of funny, when they did the whole arc about Lee Shaw in the 80s, or going and then coming back in the 80s from the Hollow Earth. They have the same actor playing Hiroshi, and I think the same actress playing Kentaro's mother. She was a nurse at a hospital that Lee ended up at. And they tried to de-age them. Mixed success. But,
see, his mom has a mask on for most of that.
Yeah, like a surgeon's mask on.
So that helps them.
But anyway, I don't really know what Kentaro, I guess, because they were going to pop up out of the Hollow Earth no matter what Kentaro and Apex did. I guess when we learn at the end that they came out on Skull Island, it's good that someone was there to pick them up, or they might have died, I guess. But but this final episode, I was, you know, of course they bring Godzilla back. Godzilla, I will say, makes at least a cameo appearance in what, 7 or 8 out of the 10 episodes. But you could probably take all the new footage of Godzilla that they filmed / rendered in a computer and for this show for all 10 episodes. I'd say easily less than 10 minutes of footage.
Oh, yeah. I would say at least maybe 6 minutes.
Yeah.
No footage.
He has like a 2-minute fight in this last episode with this bat creature, Bat Titan, that's been in and out of the show. But, you know, the show's not called Godzilla. It's called Monarch.
Legacy of Monsters.
But Godzilla was heavily marketed. He is the draw. But yeah, I don't know. Did I miss anything? Kong. Shows up at the end because they're on Skull Island. So they went in 2015. They come out 2 years later, put them in 2017, would be about the time of King of the Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're going to try to work any of these characters in. Kurt Russell actually got left behind in the Hollow Earth because he had to go outside their little container thing and capsule thing and plug in a gamma ray producer thing. He and Jigga, they were using to draw in a Titan to open the portal so they could go back in the portal or whatever. So he fell off. They didn't show a body. If they can con him back and they do a season 2, or maybe he'll be in the Hollow Earth in GXK. Who knows? Hey, if they can con Kurt Russell into showing up for that.
Yeah.
I don't know if these characters are going to come back for the movies or what, but anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I miss anything important?
I don't think we missed anything important.
So, the basic moral of the story is the show's fine. You know, it started off strong, but then it really fell back towards the pack in terms of the MonsterVerse.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the best human characters overall we've had in the MonsterVerse, but that's a really low bar.
That's not a high bar at all.
Really low bar to clear. Since Bryan Cranston died 30 minutes into a movie that was made 10 years ago.
He was the best character in that whole thing.
Yeah. Probably still the best character in all of the MonsterVerse. Not including the monsters, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, you want to talk a little bit about creature design?
Why not?
Well, I think the first... Let's talk about Godzilla. I think he is the first thing we see in a flashback. The basic MonsterVerse design, I think they've slimmed him up a little bit. Because he was looking pretty fat in a couple of those movies. But I think they slimmed him up a little bit for this show. But he looks good. You know, no complaints. The animators, we'll talk about effects. But the animators did a good job for whatever TV budget they were working with. I like Godzilla.
Yeah.
I think the first thing that we see not Godzilla is the Bat Titan. Looks like
A big bat.
Yeah. Looks pretty good, I guess, for what it is.
Pretty good. I mean, it wasn't hard to make. It's just an oversized bat.
Yeah. Probably my favorite kaiju out of this thing is the ice monster.
Oh, yeah.
In Alaska. And like ice breath on four legs. He's a neat looking creature.
He's neat. Probably the best looking creature besides Godzilla.
Yeah. I definitely think the artist put in some work on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks pretty cool. Who else we got? We got the little insect things. I don't really remember them that well.
No.
That dragged her down into the
hollow. Were they ants?
Huh?
Were they ants?
Kind of giant ant looking thing. They weren't ants. Maybe more like roaches. I don't remember that well, honestly. But anyway. So I guess that tells you how much they left an impression on me. Of course, that was like episode one. So that was over 2 months ago. What else we got? There's like a warthog thing that tries to get Kate, that Keiko saves her from. It's like a warthog, but with a lot of extra tusks.
And bigger.
Yeah. Again, you can really tell the limitations of the budget when they get down into the Hollow Earth. Because like they did in GVK, if this was on a movie budget, they'd have these grand sweeping landscape shots with creatures flying overhead and running underneath and all that. When we get there, it's a lot of like...
Dark.
What?
Dark.
It's dark a lot. It's a lot of, you know, just very close up shots of characters in a kind of generic forest background. But like I said, we see like three creatures, and two of them are creatures we saw earlier in the show.
And for some weird reason, the sky is like a rainbow.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly what they did in GVK and how it matches up to this, but I feel like they've changed the color of the sky.
And how dark it is.
It's a lot darker, but you know, it's what it is.
And you know, for some reason, they have lightning storms when...
Yeah, when a portal opens up, they have like upside down lightning storms from, I guess, the just massive amount of static electricity buildup or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's a kind of a neat effect.
Neat.
But yeah. Did we cover all the creatures? There's like a brief still shot of some kind of monster trying to get Lee when he went down there the first time.
Oh, the crab thing and the other thing that Bill was filming.
Oh, yeah. Well, there. The spider creature that was in Skull Island.
And
with the bamboo legs. And yeah, and then some kind of like rock crab, giant rock crab comes out and fights it. That's pretty neat.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. And then Kong shows up at the end. Looks like Kong from GVK. Mm-hmm.
Copied and pasted.
Probably a CGI scene they had shot for that movie or something and just had left on the cutting room floor. If we're being honest. But yeah, effects, like I said, they're on a TV budget, so there's a limited amount of visual effect shots. But when monsters are on screen, it looks pretty good. You know, no complaints about the CGI. I think they could have, again, if they had a bigger budget, they could have done more with the Hollow Earth. But, you know, if they're working on a TV budget, I don't know exactly how much the show cost, but. You know, they did fine with what they had, I guess. So, you know, no real complaints.
No, it was all around okay.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I didn't talk about this. One of the probably more popular scenes that will come away from this is early in the show. Of course, they talked about this in the 2014 movie where the Bikini Atoll bombs were to try to kill Godzilla. Mm-hmm. But we actually see that play out in early in this show. And, you know, they do the classic A-bomb explosion thing, which has been there a lot of movies this year between Oppenheimer and mm-hmm. Minus One. But it looks pretty good in this movie. All of it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Effects, pretty good overall. When they're on screen.
When they're, yeah.
I just wish there were more of them on screen. and then TV score.
Budget.
Huh?
TV budgeting.
TV. Score. I like the opening theme that plays over the opening credits in this show.
Yeah.
And overall, the score's good. Works for the show.
Works for the show just perfectly.
Yeah. I don't think it's as good. Obviously not as good as Fukube. Not as good as Alexander Desplat's score for the 2014 movie. Or Bear McCreary. 2017 movie?
They 2019 can't all movie, be winners.
Whatever it was. What?
They can't all be winners.
No. Probably better than Tom Holkenberg's GVK score.
Yeah.
But
you know.
Neither here nor there. But anyway, final thoughts. Andrew, why don't you share with us?
Okay. Well, you know, I think that this is by far the best character development we've gotten a MonsterVerse film so far, I would say. You know, even though the characters have the same act, way they act, you know, personalities. But, you know, at least they have actual backstories in this.
Yeah.
Fleshed out backstories. And you know, they have multiple characters that, I mean, they try to make you care about at least.
Yeah. They're forced to focus on the characters. Because of their budget.
Yeah. So they try to make them likable, even though they fail in a lot of those aspects.
Yeah.
Except for Kurt Russell and the guy that plays Tim. They're the most likable.
Wyatt. Not the guy that plays him. His son, Wyatt Russell. Which we just saw, side note, Wyatt Russell in Night Swim.
Mm-hmm.
Also not a good movie.
No.
Sorry.
You know, there's Tim.
Yeah.
He's all right. He's
there's Tim.
There.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the effects are pretty good for what they were going with in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's not much of it, what's there is decently did. You know, can't complain. Score. It's all right. I can't complain about score in this show.
Mm-hmm.
It fits this show perfectly for what they're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, monsters. The best one, besides Godzilla, is the ice monster, the ice-breathing monster. I don't know the name of that one.
No, there's an official name that I've already forgot.
And then, you know, it was all right. I mean, I'll give it a C.
Yeah. Yeah, I think coming into this show as a TV show and considering the history of the MonsterVerse, one of the big things that this show needed to do and I think set out to do, was to give us good human characters. And like I said, a good setup. I like the idea of the drama of their dad, who's now gone missing, had a secret family, had two families that he kept secret from each other. And now those siblings that are a product of each of those families have to come together and, you know, deal with that and deal with giant monsters. Good setup. And I like the past storyline and the three of them coming together and all that. Unfortunately, specifically for the present timeline, like I said, I just don't care for these three main leads. The way they're written and just how unenergetic, uncharismatic the three of them are, it really falls on Kurt Russell to bring some energy into this show, which he does. I love Kurt Russell. You're not going to hear me complain about Kurt Russell. He's got experience fighting monsters in cold weather. No, I mean, it kind of falls flat, especially in the middle of this show. The past storyline is better. The characters are more fun, more varied, have more charisma, more charm, more personality. But, you know, as far as the monster stuff goes, like I said, the show is pretty light on it for obvious reasons. TV budget. Although Apple is known to shell out a lot of money. Like I said, I don't know how much this specific show cost, but I'm sure it wasn't cheap. But, you know, I needed more monster subs, especially when I realized I didn't like these characters that much. I mean, you know, that is kind of the test of how good your kaiju movie is. If you take the kaiju out, is it still a good movie? Godzilla Minus One, you take Godzilla out, still a pretty good drama.
Yeah.
This show, not really.
No.
You know, I read somewhere, I think on Wikipedia, I think I read this right, that the kind of hard-nosed Russian chick that runs around with Tim is supposed to be the sister of Ford Brody's wife, of Elizabeth Olsen's character in the 2014 movie. But I don't think that's ever made clear in the show, unless I just missed it. But maybe they had a conversation I wasn't paying attention to. But anyway, I digress. Yeah, I think I'll give this show, I think I'm with you. It's about a C-level show. Yeah. The characters are overall a little better than what we've had in the MonsterVerse before. But I do miss Big Monkey Punch, Big Lizard, Fire Breath. Ah.
Hey, gotta love it.
Gotta love it. And we're about to get plenty of that.
Oh, yeah.
But speaking of which, transitioning into news, GVK, I'm sorry, GXK has been moved up. Warner Brothers has done a lot of reshuffling of release dates, and Godzilla X Kong has been moved up to March 29th. Ooh. So we'll be getting it 2 weeks earlier than we were expecting. So, yeah, here we go, baby.
Here we go.
So, obviously, even though, you know, I have my misgivings about the MonsterVerse, always excited when a new Godzilla movie comes out. So, we'll have that for you. I think, other than our my usual minus one box office update, it did officially pass the Demon Slayer movie for second all time at the U.S. box office in terms of Japanese films. And it will, this weekend, cross the 50 million threshold at the U.S. box office. Big achievement. You know, the next big milestone, if it could do it, it might run out of steam first, is past Parasite's domestic lifetime gross of 53.3 million. Might not get quite there, but yeah. Oscars nominations are coming up January 23rd. I'm pretty sure it'll get nominated for visual effects. Of course, it'd be a nice surprise if it got nominated for best feature. Probably not going to happen.
Probably not.
You know, it is what it is. Other than that, just our upcoming schedule. Next week is, I believe, the finale of, what's our show we're watching? Ultraman Blazar. And we will do a wrap-up show up on that. And then hopefully after that, we'll have at least a few weeks where we can go back to our classic old movie watching sales.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't nailed down anything officially. Andrew and I need to sit down real soon and hammer out at least a few weeks worth of schedule. Yeah. Maybe from here through our next for sure film, which will be Godzilla.
GXK.
Yeah, GXK. TNE. The New Empire.
New Empire.
Are we just going to, you know, people refer to Empire Strikes Back as Empire. For the Godzilla show, we're just going to refer to this next movie in the future as Empire.
Empire. Godzilla. Empire.
Empire. Anyway, I think that's all we got for you this week. As always, you can contact us at stompthisway1954@gmail.com. We also have a website. Andrew, do you remember it this week?
I might.
Okay, well, let's try.
It's stompthisway.wordpress.net.
What the hell are you talking about? Why would we have a .net? It's a .com.
.com.
stompthisway.wordpress.com.
I almost got this week. Yeah. At least I didn't start right with www.
What?
At least I didn't start it with www.
Well, you can start with www. Last time you put the www in the middle of it.
Yeah. Stop this right now.
Have you been online recently?
I don't search up for law websites. I just search up keywords.
If you could see my visual disappointment, it would be astonishing. Anyway, I think that's all we got for you. So, as always, thank you for joining. Catch up on Blazar and join us next week. For that, you can watch Blazar on the YouTube for free. I think they have the whole show on there. I think when they first started simulcasting, they would do like 2 episodes and then they would start falling off. But I think they leave them all up now. So catch up on that. Join us next week. And as always, I'm Aaron.
I'm Andrew.
And we'll see you in the next one.